What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Five Red Lights. My name is Jesse Finver. This is episode 3. With me, as always, Howard Goldberg and Howie. No race this past weekend, so we got nothing to recap. But there's plenty of news to talk about. We wanted to do a quick little news app discussing the biggest stories this past weekend. There are certainly some big stories that we wanted to discuss, and let's just get right into it.
Huge ones.
So the biggest story of the past week, and if unless you've been living under a rock, we'll break it down for you here. Big time swap. Who swapped? What teams? Break it down for us, Allie.
Oh, stop teasing them, Jesse. It was Yuki and Liam, Red Bull Racing. I mean, Ralf Schumacher came out last week, I think before people even went off the air after the Australian Grand Prix. After the Chinese Grand Prix last week, and said that Liam Lawson was getting replaced for Suzuka. And I think Ralf Schumacher is respected, even if sometimes what he says in the media is a little bit outrageous. He's very connected in the sport, very respectable driving career. And when he said that, I think people were taken aback a little bit by how quickly after the race. Couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 hours after the checkered flag in China. And Ralf Schumacher was saying that it was already a done deal and that Liam was out of the car. Turns out he was right. Turns out that they actually had discussions after Australia about removing Liam from the Red Bull, because for the people at Red Bull, it became obvious to them after the few days of testing in Bahrain and then the Australian Grand Prix that Liam was not coming to terms with the car and the characteristics and not making the progress needed to satisfy them. So sounds like those discussions started after one race, which is pretty insane. But hey, that is this sport. When you are fighting at the top, you need points. You need maximum points every week, especially when there are 4 competitive teams. And that's just the bottom line. And it's very harsh on Liam, but he now has a chance to get into a car that he is somewhat familiar with from last year. Yes, it has changed a little bit, but the underlying properties of the car will be the same. And so he gets a chance to get back into a car that he should be a lot more comfortable in, with engineers and a team that he has worked with on 2 different occasions. I think that it's a chance for him to reset, and it's much needed. I don't think there's many people in the sport itself saying that Liam Lawson doesn't have talent or speed. It's just been a really tough go of it. And then Yuki Tsunoda, on the other hand, I think everybody's pretty universally psyched for him. I mean, he has openly wanted this for so long. And I think a lot of people have wanted it for him for a long time. And so seeing him finally get his chance in that car is really, really great. I think Yuki would be the first one to tell you this isn't the way he wanted it to happen. I don't think he wanted it to come at the expense of Liam, the expense of all this confidence that Liam Lawson must have just lost from his performances to being demoted from that car after just 2 races. So I don't think it happened in a way that Yuki or anybody else wanted to see. But ultimately, the end result, I think, is something that makes a lot of people happy. We wanted to see Yuki Tsunoda next to Max Verstappen for the better part of a year and a half now, I think. So I'm very excited. And Yuki got a chance to get into the Red Bull last year after Abu Dhabi. He did the Pirelli tire test and spent 2 days in the car. His overarching feeling coming out of that he did not feel that the car was very difficult to drive. He acknowledged it was different.
Of course.
acknowledged it was different, but said that he didn't think it was that difficult to drive. And I love that. That's a nice confidence, not quite arrogance, but it shows that he was confident in his ability and the way he was able to handle the car. And I think that's very exciting. I mean, what else are you going to say in that situation if you want that seat? But I think that there's a chance for some magic here. He's already on the record saying that he wants a podium at Suzuka, which, could you imagine the fireworks?
That'd be a dream for him. I mean, it's his home race. And I'm very happy for Yuki. He's one of my favorite drivers. He's just a lot of fun. He's like a little ball of energy. He's electric. And this is an incredible opportunity for him that, I mean, sure, maybe this isn't how he wanted it to happen. Maybe he wanted it to earn it outright. But, you know, you got to take the opportunities that you're given. And
exactly.
We've talked about like Ferrari and like poor management a bunch in the first two episodes. And it feels like we also need to kind of ding Red Bull for poor management as well. Because if everybody in the racing world, it feels like, I mean, you just said it, like everyone feels like Yuki should have had this like for the last year and a half. Like everyone kind of knew that Checo was just kind of so-so.
Although, let me say, you can't say Checo shouldn't have had the seat at the beginning of 24 because he had just finished second in the championship.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was awesome the year before, but it was very clear last year watching it was just not working. So I mean, it's just the rumbling started, and it's built up for the last year and a half, and I'm really happy that it finally happened for him. And you know, you take what you can get. Especially in a sport where there's only 20 seats, you know, you take what you can get, and now you're in the big leagues. Like you're in the championship, like sort of like, you know, constructors race now. You know, this isn't a VCARB anymore. So I'm excited to see what he can do with this opportunity. On the other side of things with Liam, I'm also happy for him because there was. You know, we were worried that, you know, he was not even going to stay in Formula One and get completely kicked out of the sport and that this would have been the end of his career. I think that would have been very unfair. I think that this was really poorly handled by Red Bull. It's been a rough couple of years, it feels like, for Christian at this point. And I just don't know why would they put Liam in this position? And if they were always going to do this, like if you're not making that decision after the first race or start talking about that after the first race, unless you like weren't completely like, if they were completely sold on Liam, they wouldn't have been having those conversations after the first race. That's just not how anything works in any sport, any business, anything. Liam clearly came into the season on the hot seat already. And it's just super unfair that they did that to him. I really don't like how that was handled. And I think it was there's only so many races in the season. You threw away two races. Like if you're confident in giving Yuki this seat, that means that you would have been confident giving it to him two races ago.
Yeah. And what you said about throwing away two races, they are so lucky that Ferrari threw away a fifth and a sixth place in China.
Yeah.
They're
so lucky.
They'd be in fourth place by 20 points right now behind Ferrari if that didn't happen.
Yeah, they're very lucky. And I think that it is very clear that this is not Red Bull's year. Like they're just like Max, and like I don't think it's gonna be Max's year either. I think this is a, you know, This is going to be a very interesting upcoming offseason for Red Bull.
And that's scary for Red Bull that it's this terrifying. Isn't their year, because going into next year, the first time that they've ever produced their own engine,
yeah,
working with Ford, who's building their first F1 engine, and it's in new regulations, so nobody really knows what to expect. So, yeah, also going that one step further, it's the first time they're ever designing a car without Adrian Newey involved.
Right.
The past, this year's car is just an evolution of a car that he helped design. So, I mean, they're completely in an unknown now, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens. There's been, I guess this is the perfect time to bring up, there's been a lot of chatter about Max and his potential performance clauses in his contract. And I mean, there's so much to dig into. I mean, it's hard to know what's true, but there are so many people out there saying that there are clauses in his contract where if Red Bull isn't able to maintain a third place standing in the constructors, then Max is a free agent. And it's...
Is that confirmed?
At the end of 24, Horner did confirm that there is performance-related language in his contract and said that as long as they continue to provide a competitive car, they know what the situation is. So, yes, that definitely indicates
that's incredible.
If we're not good enough, he can leave.
Yeah, that's incredible for Max. That is disaster for Red Bull if that's the case. They're clearly the fourth fastest team. Maybe not even the fourth fastest. Maybe. Is Williams faster than them? And the only reason why they're going to stay ahead of them is because Max is the best driver on the grid. Like, it's scary hours.
Something now that the Times from UK is reporting that if he's outside of the top three in the Drivers' Championship,
which really is.
That's a difference Max can make with a car. You know, Max can probably put the fourth or fifth best car in third place in the Drivers' Championship. So if they're really that bad, then yeah, he's gone.
I want to let's bring it to Mercedes, because if Max is gone, I mean, it's been about a year and a half, 2 years now of Max to Mercedes rumors. However, you know, Toto says that he's happy with George and Kimi, right? If you're Toto, obviously
you can't say no to Max Verstappen. 28 years old.
So who are you kicking off of the team if you're Toto? Because George is racing like a superstar right now, and Kimi is like the next guy. Right?
It's a tough choice. So, I wouldn't want to be Toto Wolff. That's for sure.
But like, you also would want to be Toto Wolff because you have such great options too. Like, it's just a really difficult decision to make. And I feel like you can't really go wrong either way. Right? Like, either you get the best driver in the sport and you pair him up with either a prodigy or a guy who's racing like a superstar right now.
I don't think Max and George can work. I don't.
Why not?
Why? Because they're already both at that level of we're world champion caliber drivers. If you switched George and Max in teams the last 3 or 4 years, George probably wins a couple championships. George, I think, wins 3 championships. Last year is a lot closer, but
you think George is good enough to like take those last 3 Red Bull cars and win a championship with those cars?
Yeah. With the gap that car supposedly had on the field until early last year. Yes, I do. And so I think George Russell is what a lot of people think Lando Norris is. I'll just say that. everybody thinks Lando Norris is the best driver that's not won a championship. And I don't really think that's the case. For too long, he's shown that he's mistake prone. And George has made some mistakes, but it doesn't seem like a chronic issue. You know, it's not like if George Russell is leading a race, you're not like holding your breath like, oh my God, don't do something to bottle this. I feel like, or same thing goes for qualifying. I feel like you're watching Lando in Q3 and he's putting together an incredible sector one, incredible sector two. And you're just sitting there like, don't do something to mess up sector three again. Because he's done it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he needs to prove that consistency before he continues wearing that title, so to speak. But yeah, I think George and Max, I don't think would really work. I think it would be too much of a Nico and Lewis dynamic. Not that they were best friends before like Nico and Lewis were, but they're just too competitive with each other in the best car, potentially. And that doesn't work. I think Kimi is still at a point in his career where he wants to learn as much as he can from somebody like George or somebody like Max. And that's why at the beginning of Lewis and George, that partnership worked. Because George was still eager to learn from Lewis. But as the 3 years that they were together went on, George started measuring himself up and saying, hey, maybe I don't need to be just the person learning all the time. I'm capable of maybe being on equal footing with Lewis or better some weekends. And so I don't think the dynamic will work.
Does Max have any interest in being a mentor at all, though? Like, does he want to teach Kimi Antonelli?
He seems to have actually been taking this year's rookies under the wing quite a bit. He seems like he's sort of developed a bit of a relationship with Seb Vettel, and it's, I'm not going to say softened him up because Max has not softened up, but it has maybe made him a little bit more accessible to the young drivers on the grid.
He definitely was vocal about his displeasure with how they handled the Lawson stuff. So, I mean, that's,
yeah, no, but all the, you see him all the time talking to Gabriel Bortoleto and Kimi Antonelli and, you know, the Jack Doohan as they're doing like their driver's parade and all their media obligations and hanging around the paddock. You always see him talking to this year's rookies. So I do think, and he's been on the record saying he doesn't want to be in the sport forever, that there's other things he wants to do in life and in racing. So I do think Max will be a fairly open book for a teammate like Kimi. If it's George, on the other hand, no. Not,
yeah, no, because they're gonna be competing for like they both want to be world champions.
Exactly. As so. A team, you have to take that into consideration of how that affects how the team as a whole operates too.
All right, real quick, Toto's missing Suzuka. Seems like travel load management.
I might have been wrong putting that in the notes. I think it's just, he's done it in the past. I mean, there's no reason. There's so many races now. They've added like 4 or 5 races to the calendar in the last 10 years. So
yeah,
with there being 24 races, it doesn't make sense to send every single person to every race. So
he's a busy guy too.
Yeah. He'll be accessible on comms from Brackley, where Mercedes has their headquarters. He'll be online live during all the sessions, so he's not going to miss anything. He just won't physically be there in person.
Yeah,
and honestly, in this day of technology, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah,
it's so just easy to communicate and see things.
Still news that he won't be in Japan for this race.
Yeah.
He
did it in 2023.
Yeah, I did see that. So this isn't the first time he's done that.
No.
Next up, Ferrari Bahrain upgrades.
First news of an upgrade package.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Looks like they're going to be upgrading the floor, so that should be good for Lewis and Charles. Yeah,
their main aim with this one, it sounds like they're just looking to widen the range that the car is able to operate in. This year, early on, they've had trouble with ride height, and it sounds almost like they made the casing for their gearbox too small. So when the rear is bumping around, it kind of unsettles the car. And what they've done in upgrading with this floor upgrade is just trying to redirect air around and trying to soften the rear of the car a little bit. So when it's hitting bumps or curbs, it's not jostling the rear end around, not moving the gearbox as much, and it won't unsettle the car. So it'll just basically make it more comfortable, a little bit easier to drive for Lewis and Charles.
That'll be good.
Yeah, it should definitely help them find a little bit more lap time. Time that's already in the car. They just haven't been able to extract it.
Do you think that this is how significant of an upgrade do you think this is going to be for Ferrari?
It's tough to say. Partly because they already have the pace, which they've shown at times. It's just being able to consistently maintain it. I don't know how much faster this makes their car, just more stable, really.
They might
find small gains. I don't know how much of that can be attributed to the stability versus the new package.
No, yeah, I mean, they won the sprint. Lewis won the sprint, and like you said, they showed they have the pace this year. It's a matter of can they be more consistent, like you said, but also can their race plans, can they, you know, the management side of things, race plans, can they figure it out? And I mean, listen, you're never going to complain about an upgrade for the car. And if it makes it easier for Lewis and Charles to drive, especially with Lewis trying to still get, I mean, not that he needs much help, because he showed winning the sprint kind of put any worries that it was going to take him a little time to adjust to the new team. But I think that, making it a little easier for them to handle the car, that's obviously going to go a long way. I'm interested to see how they do this weekend, but Bahrain's what, 2 weeks or two races away? Three?
Yeah, Bahrain's after Japan.
After Japan. So that'll be good. We'll see how they do this weekend, though. Anything else? Anything else we wanted to talk about? We talked about Mercedes, Ferrari.
I did just see Williams right before we got on here. Williams signed Victor Martins to their driver academy. Won Formula 3 a couple years ago. Had a decent rookie showing in F2. So that's interesting. Not sure where the path is for him. It's probably just to become a development driver for them, a reserve driver. So we'll see what happens with that. But interesting little tidbit.
And just off the cuff here, I just thought of this. Any predictions or takes that you've thought of this past week about Suzuka? Nothing? All right.
No.
Nothing different than last week. All right, folks. That's it for us. Just quick little news episode. We wanted to, talk to you guys this week with no race this past weekend. So thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you next week with our reactions to the Japanese Grand Prix round 3. And we'll see you then.
Peace. Okay. If you want one prediction. Pierre Gasly steals a point.
There we go. All right. That's it for us. Pierre Gasly's going to steal a point.
Last team on the grid to score.
Amazing. And Alpine gets on the board. All right. That's it for us, folks. See ya.